Welcome everyone to the Woka in English podcast. This is your host, Gabriel Aguero. This is going to be one of those solo podcasts. The other guys were a little bit busy this week, so we couldn't match up our schedules, but that's okay because this is one of those fairly quick podcasts. I'm only going to be previewing the upcoming Copa de la Liga season that kickstarts today. I'm recording Friday afternoon. I'm going to be talking about the transfer market and previewing Boca's home opener against Gimnasia La Plata. Boca play Sunday afternoon at 5:20 local time. But before we get into that, let me go ahead and just talk some transfer market. So if I remember correctly, we did not mention the signing of Marco Rojo, the experienced center back who's been playing for European clubs over the past decade or so. Last six, 7 years with Manchester United. Is remembered for his stint in the Argentine national team, of course. So the experienced center back, 30 years old, actually played on loan at Estudiantes last year in 2020. He only played one game and was unfortunately injured, and he only featured for one single game for Estudiantes. And then the pandemic hit us. Football was paused for the amount of time that it was paused for, 4 or 5 months. So Rojo really didn't have the best experience returning on loan to Estudiantes. So his loan, I think, was only for 6 months. It expired in June. He left and went back to Manchester United, and I think he only featured over the following 6 months, the end of 2020, for their reserve team, playing a couple of games here and there. So nothing crazy, but he has put pen to paper on a 3-year contract. It's actually 2 years, but with the option to extend for an additional year. That third year, all the terms and specifications of that third and final year are already agreed on. So if at the end of two, they both parties decide to continue, Rojo will continue with the club. But he likely won't feature for Boca over the next couple of weeks. Now, the priority for Rojo is to get him under right physical condition. So he's going to be doing a lot of conditioning over the next few weeks. The squad, I mean, the coaching staff, and of course Riquelme with the rest of the footballing department, do not want to rush his progress. They don't want to him to pick up any injuries, any knocks, or anything like that. So he's going to be working on his conditioning over the next couple of weeks, making sure he's nice and prepared for what's really important coming up, which is the Copa Libertadores, which, if I'm not mistaken, Boca kickstart their season in the 2021 Libertadores. I think it's in April. So Rojo has about 8 weeks to get into shape and the right form. That's the most important. That's priority for the club, of course, over the Copa de la Liga, which kickstarts today, Friday, February 12th. Anyways, another name being linked with Boca Juniors is midfielder Esteban Rolón, who I'm pretty sure is around 22 years old. He's a very young, promising midfielder who had a pretty good stint with Argentinos a couple years back. I think he also has some experience playing in Spain. But last season, he played on loan at Huracán, and he impressed, at least according to our footballing department, Riquelme and all those guys. They want to bring him in. Now, this is a little bit of a tricky transfer because the Huracán president, who's historically, his name is Nadur, he's historically been very tough to negotiate with. He came out and said if Boca want Rolón, Boca would have to shell out $500,000, which is the buyout clause, the buyout option, the release option for him. So as soon as Boca were prepared to do that, Rolón went ahead and said, okay, I have agreed to terms with Boca. They're going to trigger the release clause. Nadur came out and said, actually, no, it's $1 million to release him. So that's kind of the situation with Esteban Rolón. News surfacing today said that he does not want to play for Huracán. There's sort of a holdout between Rolón and his current club, Huracán. Now, the rules of AFA say that if he were to be if he was named as part of the squad for the upcoming game, Huracán play, I'm not sure who they play this weekend. I'd have to take a quick look. Huracán actually play on Sunday away to Defensa y Justicia. So if he were to be part of that squad, be named part of that squad, sign his name on the squad sheet, he is no longer able to sign for any other club in Argentina. which is why he's holding out and he does not want to play for Huracán. He wants to force his move over to Boca Juniors. The most experienced journalists surrounding the club say that this move will materialize over the next couple of days, hopefully, probably this weekend, but we just have to wait and see. Another name who was being named, linked to Boca is right back Tenaglia of Talleres, one of the most exciting right backs in all of Argentina, but it seems like Talleres and Boca haven't come to terms on a move, on stealing a deal. There was rumors about Obando going over there on loan, Boca giving Talleres the remaining percentage to, I think it was Pochettino, who was actually already transferred from Talleres over to Austin FC in the MLS. Very confusing and tricky operation as well, but it looks like Boca found a backup option, which I don't know if he was really a backup, because this is, from what I've heard today, and yesterday, this was Miguel Angel Russo's priority right back signing, which is Andres Felipe Roman, who is a Colombian right back of Millonarios, 25-year-old explosive fullback. A lot of people compare him to Frank Fabra in the sense that he's excellent attacking wise, excellent with his crossing, but he's not so good defending, which obviously does bring up some concern. But this is the right back that Boca are targeting, and reports suggest that over the next couple of days, maybe week, there should be a move already sealed in that sense. So Boca did bring in Marcos Rojo, or likely to bring in a right back, or also likely to bring in a center midfielder in Esteban Rolón. Those are three positions that Boca would have reinforced over the next couple of weeks. Obviously, Rojo is currently the only signing, but it's likely that, you know, we sign Andres Felipe Roman at right back and Esteban Rolón at center mid. Now, a lot of you listeners will probably be asking, well, where's the striker? most Boca fans will agree on that the team is in dire need of a striker, somebody who could put the ball in the back of the net. The only person who could do that on a constant basis within the squad is Juan Chope Avila, but because of certain characteristics, he can't feature that much with the quote-unquote starting 11. The starting 11, which is from midfield and up, is most likely Campuzano, Capaldo, Salvio, Carlos Tevez, and either Cardona or Villa. There's something along those lines. So because of characteristics, and what I mean when I say characteristics is that he doesn't really run a lot. He doesn't press the defense a lot. That's something that Soldano does and facilitates. It's obvious that he facilitates the game for his teammates like Tevez and whatnot. Tevez doesn't have to run as much. Now imagine playing Tevez, a player who doesn't press the defense, with Juan Chope Avila, another player who doesn't really press, and you might run into some issues. So the only, like I was saying, the only player who can constantly put the ball in the back of the net is Avila, but he's not all that reliable with a starting 11. So Boca obviously need to bring in another striker, since Soldano obviously can't put the ball in the back of the net. And reports suggest that Boca are targeting a striker for June. June is considered, obviously, the bigger transfer market, the one where there's a lot more moves. There's a lot more action going on. Boca probably are looking at somebody in Europe whose contract is either ending or, you know, somebody along those lines. I don't want to say any names. To be honest, I don't have any names. I haven't heard anything. But it looks like that's where Boca and the football department are at right now with a striker. It's evident they know that they have to bring somebody in, but not at this moment in time. They think it's better to go ahead and wait till the summer, where there's a lot more possibilities of bringing in a big-name striker. They see it as these next four months, right? I believe it's 4 or 5 months until June, that we can make do with what we have in Soldano, Zárate, and Juan Chope Avila, and then go ahead and bring in a striker later on in the mid-year. Another thing I also want to mention is that the Copa Argentina, that's it for transfer market, by the way. The Copa Argentina is officially underway again. I believe this is a 2020 edition. Boca have to play against Claypole in the round of 64. River have already played their match. I think they played yesterday, which was Thursday. And the reason I want to mention this is because Boca still don't have a date and time set to go ahead and play this match. Now, I think, I don't know why that is. I think that's a little worrying. I think, you know, we need to start getting these games under our belt and start playing them and getting them out of the way rather than them piling up later on in the year. So hopefully we have a date and time to announce for the round of 64 match against Claypole. Now, the Copa de la Liga, which was going to be called, once again, the Copa Diego Armando Maradona for 2021, but because of naming rights and a lot of that going on with Maradona's lawyer, AFA were not able to use that name. So they called it Copa de la Liga Profesional. Short, it'll be called Copa de la Liga. That's how we're going to refer to it over on this podcast. Now, for those of you who still don't understand the format, it's a little bit simpler, actually a lot more simpler than last year's edition. So there's going to be 26 teams. They're going to be drawn into two groups, 13 teams each, and they're going to be playing a single round robin basis. Now, every match day, every round, every weekend, there's going to be a clásico or a derby match between a team from each individual group. So, for example, match day 5 will have the Superclásico. Boca are in Group B, and we're going to be playing against River, who are in Group A. So every match day, every weekend, there's going to be one derby consisting of a team from each group. Otherwise, you play every single, like I said, a round-robin basis. You play everybody that's in your group. So the top four teams at the end of the group stages will advance into the quarterfinals. And then you play the quarterfinals, semifinals, and final. It's going to be a single-legged basis. Now, I'm assuming all those games are going to be neutral grounds. I think. I don't have that 100% clear. Maybe the team with the better points or better overall plays the game in their home. I don't know. I'm assuming it's going to be on a neutral ground, though. That's it for the Copa de la Liga. So moving on. Like I said earlier today, Boca play this Sunday against Gimnasia de La Plata, and there's a lot of speculation on the possible 11 that Russo could go ahead and play. Obviously, Andrada is going to be in goal. The defense is going to be Leo Jara. There's a lot of speculation about whether it's going to be Lopez or Zambrano. A lot of reports are saying that it's going to be Zambrano over Lopez, which is the biggest biggest question about this possible lineup. Alongside him is going to be Izquierdos and Fabra. Now, moving up into midfield, a lot of suggestions say that it's going to be Varela and Capaldo playing side by side. That's another questionable decision, as Capaldo is a little unorganized. He's not a traditional center defensive mid, and neither is Varela. Varela usually plays a little bit higher upfield, projecting passes forward. And Cabaldo is a box-to-box midfielder, so I'm a little worried about who's going to be marking in that area. Judging by their characteristics, there's going to be literally a hole in the middle of the midfield, and I'm just worried about who's going to take that position and press whenever we need to recover the ball. Since Campuzano won't be there, Campuzano is actually recovering from an injury that he suffered a couple of weeks ago, and they don't want to rush him, and that's why he's not likely to play. And then out wide on the right, it's expected that Salvio is going to play. And on the left, some reports are saying Cardona, and other reports are saying Villa. Above them, it's going to be Tevez and Zárate. So that's a lot of offensive firepower. That's pretty much the same team that we've been seeing over the past year under Miguel Ángel Russo. There's not too much balance. I was expecting there would be a little more change. Some things would be done differently. For example, I don't know if I want to see Salvio and Villa play out wide like they've been playing. I think one of their positions should be changed. Maybe if we utilize a 4-3-1-2, the one being Carlos Tevez, and up top we have the striker, either Zárate, and right next to him it could be Villa or Salvio playing the sort of Rodrigo Palacio role, if we're going to be doing a comparison to Miguel Ángel Russo's team from 2007. So I was hoping to see a little bit more of a difference, but it's pretty much the same team, which is a little bit disappointing. I'm also hoping that Lopez does play over Zambrano. Zambrano has been underwhelming over the past couple months, over the past year. Izquierdos and Lopez have played really, really great together, and you know, I hope that continues, because in all truthfulness, Lopez hasn't done anything to leave the starting 11, and neither has Zambrano. Zambrano hasn't done anything to integrate the starting 11. He hasn't been better than Lopez or Izquierdos. So that's another talking point there. I believe that's it for this week's podcast. We touched on the transfer market. We touched a couple seconds on the Copa Argentina, and then we did a little preview on this weekend's game against Gimnasia, and also explaining how, you know, the format of the Copa de la Liga will be. So once again, Boca play this Sunday, February 14th at 5:20 local time, 17:20 local time. The following weekend, Boca visit Newell's in Rosario. That game has also been confirmed. It's going to be played on Sunday, February 21st. That game's going to be a little later, though. It's going to be at 21:30 local time, which I believe is 9:30 local time in Argentina. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope to be back with the rest of the squad, recapping the match against Gimnasia and previewing the match against Newell's. Have a great weekend, and until next time.